Salvation is through grace, through faith. Obedience after you're saved, well, that's when God says, hey, you're my children now. I want you to obey my word. You're not obeying God so that you can be saved. You're obeying God because you're saved.
Pastor Brett Metter reminds us that abstaining from sin is always important, but never enough.
You're saved because Jesus died on the cross for your sins. The ones that you've committed, the ones you're committing, and the ones you've yet to commit, Jesus died once for all of those. That's how we're saved.
Is there one deed more important than the other that gets you into heaven? Pastor Brett Metter has the answer by turning to the book of Habakkuk, pointing us to the truth that salvation is found not in our works, but in trusting the work of the Lord. A reminder from today's word, calling us to rest our salvation fully in Him, not on any religious practice or human effort.
Why don't you grab your Bible, turn to Habakkuk, and we're going to take a look at this little verse. It's chapter 2, verse 4. It says, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Romans chapter 1, verses 15 and 17, you can write this down. Paul the apostle said, so as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. There it is. Paul is quoting from Habakkuk. The just shall live by faith. And Paul made this argument over and over and over again in his epistles. But I love that he said, for the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God. It's not your giving money or you're attending a church or, you know, giving to poor people. That's not how you're saved. People still get this confused that being obedient to God's word is how you're saved. That's not really it. It's actually faith and faith alone that saves you. The just shall live by faith. Notice the phrase before that. It says here, from faith to faith. What's that all about? That's what the King James says there. But if you look at the New International Version of verse 17 there, it says, for in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is, and here it is, by faith from first to last. The King James says from faith to faith. NIV says by faith from first to last. What's that saying? It's saying it's the beginning and the ending and everything in between. In other words, it's not that you start with faith and end with works. And the whole thing is faith, from beginning and from faith to faith, from the first to the last, the just shall live, or the righteous shall live by faith. Quoting from Habakkuk. You see, this is important, you guys. Nothing you can do to add to the salvation God offers to you. You're saved by God's grace through faith, not of your works. The Bible says that. Read Ephesians 2:8. It's very, very clear. The just shall live by faith. The Galatian church, by the way, the Galatians, they were making a big mistake. They were starting to allow these people to come in and cause problems with this notion of, are you saved by faith or are you saved by works? They were called Judaizers. Now, I've studied these Judaizers for a long time, and I used to think they were Jews trying to make the new Christian church in Galatia sort of more like Jews. That's what I used to think. But the more I've looked into it, I'm realizing it maybe was some Jews, but it was actually mostly Gentiles who had in the early church thought, well, we got to become believers, so we need to be like Jews. Yeah, Jesus died on the cross for my sins, but we also need to be circumcised. We got to celebrate the festivals and the feasts and the new moons and the Sabbaths. We got to start keeping the laws of the Jews. And they were really into this. And they started to be a problem. They went around saying, hey, are you circumcised? Can you imagine that in the church today if people were walking around? Are you circumcised? That's what was going on. These weirdos were running around saying, are you circumcised? Because you better be. That's largely what the book of Galatians is about. The Judaizers that were putting this burden and causing a problem saying, yeah, it's nice that you love Jesus and all and have faith, but that's not enough. There's more. Here's what you need to do to really be saved. And one of the things that was circumcision. Would you flip over to Galatians with me? Turn to Galatians chapter 1. Let's do a little galloping through Galatians real quick, because this book really nails it down, this topic that Martin Luther was trying to deal with. Whether it's circumcision of the early church, or, you know, climbing up stairs or whipping your back or doing stuff where you're somehow getting in favor with God, total waste of time. And Martin Luther realized that when he started reading stuff like Galatians chapter 1, look at verses 6 through 9. He says this, he says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." Remember, we're talking about the Judaizers who are saying, you gotta be circumcised. That's not a gospel. Is it good news to say, yeah, I wanna be saved and you gotta be circumcised? So he's saying, it's not a gospel. Verse 7 says, it's not another, but there's some that want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But verse 8, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Paul's doing damage control here. The early church, they realize, wow, you're saved by Jesus and the work of the cross. And when you accept Christ, you're saved by faith, believing. And by the way, there was nothing new there. Even Abraham of the Old Testament, how was he saved? Anybody remember? By faith. Remember, it says Abraham believed God, so it counted unto him for righteousness. And guess what? Even after he believed God, he sinned a whole bunch. Slept with Hagar and gave birth to Ishmael and did all kinds of, called Sarah his sister when it was really his wife, like lied through his teeth. He sinned even after he was declared righteous by God, but he didn't lose his salvation, did he? Even though he was a sinner and messed up all through his life, he messed up all kinds of times. The reason Abraham was declared righteous is because he believed God. He was justified by faith. Well, so too, Paul says, man, you Galatians, he says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from the gospel of grace and to another gospel. It's not even really a gospel. It's like fake gospel. And then he makes it clear. He says, listen, if we come and give you another gospel, or if an angel from heaven comes and gives you another gospel, let that person, let that angel be accursed, he says. Then fast forward, go to chapter 2, verse 16 of Galatians, where it says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Justification is what you and I need. We're all sinners. We all fall short. We need to be declared righteous. And there's only one way for that to happen, by faith, through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. The just shall live by faith. Paul's making this point and hammering it home. Go to chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. He says, and he's getting a little more, you know, pointed. He says, oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. He says, I got like one question I want to ask you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Remember what Paul said? He said, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's what he's referring to here. So he's saying, did you get saved and filled with the Spirit by keeping good laws or by the hearing of faith? The answer is rhetorical. Yes, of course, by the hearing of faith. But he says, verse 3, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? In other words, he's saying, man, you were saved by God's grace through faith. Can you improve upon that by circumcising yourself? Of course not, he's saying. Like, Paul's having to make this really heavy argument, and he even says, you guys are so foolish, and it is foolish, to try to add to what Jesus did on the cross. And that's why a number one sign of a cult is for them to say, yeah, great for you. You believe in Jesus and by faith, yeah. But wait, there's more. You need to believe in Jesus and as soon as they put the and on there, you're off course. Even good stuff like this, for example, if you wanna be saved by God's grace, you gotta be saved, you gotta believe, but you also need to be baptized. Now, don't get me wrong. We're constantly baptizing because that's something you do, listen, to be obedient to God's word. But are you saved? Is that what makes you go to heaven? Because, well, I got dunked in the river and so I was baptized, so that's why I'm going to heaven. No. When you get baptized in the river, you're acknowledging what God has done miraculously, saving you by his grace through faith. It's an outward sign of what God has already done inwardly in your life. Crucified with Christ, buried, old man left in the river, new creation as you come out. Jesus died for your sins on the cross. Baptism is essential if you're obedient to God. You need to be baptized. But it's not what saves. We're saved by grace through faith. Do you see the difference? People get really confused about being obedient versus being saved. Those are two separate issues. He saves us by his grace through faith. So Galatians 3 is like, oh, foolish Galatians. He's like, you guys have totally got off course by adding to what saves. Fast forward to chapter 3, verse 10. In Galatians 3:10, he says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. You see that? Galatians 3:11, again, Paul quotes Habakkuk 2:4. Habakkuk's quoted three times in the New Testament. This is one of them, Galatians 3:11. And so the point is, again, he's saying the just shall live by faith. He says, man, you know, those of you that are under the works of the law, you're cursed. Why would anybody be cursed if they said, I'll keep the law of the Old Testament? Why are you cursed? Anybody? You can't keep them. Do I need to show you again my list of 613 laws given to us by Moses in the Old Testament? Guess what? There's been a lot of people through the ages who've tried to keep those 613 laws, and no one was successful, not even one, except for Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to perfectly fulfill the law. So Paul's saying, no one was ever saved by keeping this. No one was. He says, the law just dooms us. But in verse 11, he says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Now fast forward to Galatians 3, verse 21. It says, is the law against the promise of God? In other words, does that mean that the law that we just showed you is against God? No, he says, God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness would have been given by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin. We've all sinned. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. Remember I talked about Mr. Alexander, my teacher, the schoolmaster, how he drove us to do the right thing? Well, that's what the law does. It drives us to God's good grace. But we go further still in chapter 5, verse 1. Flip the page to Galatians 5:1. He exhorts them, the church at Galatia, saying this, stand fast therewith in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That was the problem with the Galatian church. They were getting entangled back with the laws, circumcision and the keeping of feasts and festivals and all the sacrificial system. They were trying to bring those back into the church. He says, but stand fast in the liberty. Verse 2, behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. In other words, one of the blessings of Christ is you don't need to be circumcised. Verse 3, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Remember what James said? He's echoing Paul here. When James said, if you're going to keep one point of the law, you have to what? Keep all points of the law. So he says, man, you can be circumcised, but good luck. You have to do all the other 612 laws that you've yet to do. He says, man, verse 4, Christ has become no effect to you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. The love of God says, if you believe by faith, you'll be saved by grace. Don't complicate it, he says. Don't go back to the laws and the rules and all those regulations. Now fast forward Galatians 5, verse 10. He starts getting fiery here now. You're gonna miss it in the King Jimmy here, but I'll tell you what we're missing. In Galatians 5, 10, he says, I have confidence in you, Galatian church, through the Lord, that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you. Who is the person troubling? The Judaizers saying you gotta keep the festivals and you better be circumcised. He says, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whoever he be. Verse 11, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Verse 12, I would that they were even cut off, which trouble you. Now that's the King James cleaning everything up, making all, oh yeah, the cut off from the church, right? Or cut off from socialization or cut off from being friendly. Nope. The Greek word there is the word castration. Do you hear what Paul just said? Like this is in the Bible. You're like, is this? Yeah, you didn't color this in Sunday school, okay? Paul said, I would that you, see, remember they're saying you need to be circumcised. That cutting away of the foreskin of the flesh that was Abrahamic, that was a Jewish thing of the Old Testament. He says, yeah, you guys are pushing that. I would that you be, and he takes it a whole nother step. I would that you Judaizers be castrated. Paul didn't pull any punches, by the way, in his words. When he got fired up, man, you better watch out. Paul is saying these guys are troubling the church. And who were they? They were the ones adding to God's grace through faith, being saved by grace through faith. Paul had strong, strong words to say about these people. Now, this raises some interesting questions. Are you a legalist going around saying, if you really want to be saved, you got to do A, B, C, or D? Don't do that. The question is, do you want to be saved? You have to say, do you accept by faith salvation from God? It's that simple. Yeah, but Brett, you're preaching a cheap grace. You're just saying that a person can go and sin as much as they want and still be saved. Well, the truth is, I'm going to admit that. Yes. Are you kidding, Brett? We can go sin as much as we want? Yeah, you can also pour acid in your eyeballs if you want to. Like, here's the thing. Salvation is through grace, through faith. Obedience after you're saved, well, that's when God says, hey, you're my children now. I want you to obey my word. You're not obeying God so that you can be saved. You're obeying God because you're saved. So when James says faith without works is dead, he's saying that, man, a true child of God is gonna want to obey God. But are we gonna get it 100%? Are we gonna be perfect from that day forward? Of course not. No one has ever saved and then been perfect from that day forward. God sent his son dying on the cross for the sins of the world. And he died once for all sin, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews. So we are saved by God's grace through faith. Obedience is the result of a person who's saved, not an indication of whether they're saved or not. We have to be careful on that one. What saves you, that's God's grace through faith. But then once you're saved, obedience is what we're supposed to do. Why? Because sin messes you up. You could go after church and go get drunk, even though the Bible calls drunkenness a sin. And so why shouldn't you do that? Because you'll lose your salvation? Nope, you'll go get drunk and you still probably be saved. It's all good to go. Well, then I'm gonna go get drunk. Well, that's not very smart because the Bible says it's sin. And because the Bible says it's sin, that means it's bad for you and God knows what's best. And drunkenness is not gonna be something that's helpful to you. It's gonna hurt you. That's what Paul was saying, wasn't it? When he said, all things are lawful for me, but not everything's profitable. That's what the Bible teaches about sin. So yeah, sin, we should run from it. We should abstain from sinful behaviors, but that's not what saves you. You're saved because Jesus died on the cross for your sins. The ones that you've committed, the ones you're committing, and the ones you've yet to commit, Jesus died once for all of those. That's how we're saved. That's what happened with Martin Luther. That's why the Reformation was such a big deal. In some ways, I almost wonder if we need another reformation today in the Church of Jesus Christ to be reminded of what's important. I'm so thankful. You know, one of the great things about the Bible is expositional constancy. What's that? It's just that the whole Bible teaches this. And it's funny how we miss it. That's why Paul's like, are you so foolish? Are you kidding me? Like, for example, Lot. Remember Lot? You know, think about the things Lot did. You know, he chose to live in the wicked city of Sodom and Gomorrah, Genesis 13. He offered his two virgin daughters to an angry mob of homosexuals, Genesis 19, 5 through 8. Later, his daughters get him drunk in a cave and have sexual incestuous relationships with their father and gave birth to two baby boys. You didn't color that one in Sunday school either. And those two baby boys, Ammon and Moab, became two of the worst enemies of Israel in Israel's history. The Ammonites and the Moabites came from Lot's incestuous relationship with his own daughters. So when I read the story of the Old Testament of Lot, what a loser. Well, Brett, he did leave Sodom. No, he didn't. He didn't leave. The angel said leave, and he didn't. And it says, while Lot lingered, the angel picked him up and put him outside of the city. That's when he said, now run for your life. And so they all ran and said, don't look back. And remember, Lot's wife looked back, salt shaker situation there, and Lot's running, and that's when the whole cave incident happened. Horrible, horrible dude Lot was. You say, well, Brett, that's encouraging. Why do you like that story so much? I like that story because of what 2 Peter, the apostle says this. He delivered just Lot. The word just there is the just shall live by faith. Justification, or righteous is another way you can say that. He delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man, what's he called? A righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul. Three times in this section of scripture, Lot is called righteous. Just, righteous, and righteous. That's amazing because I don't see one shred of righteousness in him. Why does the Bible call Lot in the New Testament? Why does Peter call Lot justified or righteous? Because the just shall live by faith. Lot didn't do one good thing in his life. But the Lord says he believed, so he was counted as righteous. That's why it's called the gospel. It's good news that we're saved by grace through faith. And it's not of our works. Be careful on this one. I think St. Augustine perhaps summed it up really brilliantly, if you ask me. He said this, love God and do whatever you please. For the soul trained in love to God will do nothing to offend the one who is beloved. You see, that's what a Christian really is, a person who's saved by God's grace, who says, I don't want to go down and get drunk and sleep around and do sinful stuff and do things that are contrary to God, because look at the love that God gave me, and he saved me by his grace through faith. And man, we can rejoice that we have heaven to look forward to, not because of our good works, but because he did the work of the cross. And that's the good news. That's why Paul says, oh, don't be removed from the true gospel to another gospel, which is not a gospel at all. As soon as a group, ministry, pastor, church says, yeah, you believe in Jesus, and as soon as the and is there, whoosh, you gotta cut it off and say, nope, that's not what constitutes salvation. How are you saved? By faith. How do you stay saved? By faith. The end. That's the important truth. May the Lord give us ears to hear what the Spirit would remind the church today.
Pastor Brett Metter clarifying an important simple truth in today's word found in the book of the prophet Habakkuk and echoed through the New Testament writings of the Apostle Paul, the just shall live by faith. And Pastor Brett will conclude our time together in prayer in just a moment. But first, today's word is the radio ministry of Athey Creek Church in the Portland, Oregon area, where Pastor Brett Metter is the senior pastor. We invite you to find out more about Pastor Brett and Athey Creek Church by going to todayswordradio.com. If you've missed any portion of this study, you'll find all of Pastor Brett's messages online at todayswordradio.com. Our vision on today's word is to proclaim the hope of salvation and help people know Jesus through careful study of the Bible. We invite you to find out more by going to todayswordradio.com. I also want to mention that in addition to the main Athey Creek campus in West Lynn, Oregon, we also have locations in Hillsboro and McMinnville. For more information, just go to todayswordradio.com and click on the link Locations. Again, todayswordradio.com and click the link Locations. Well, with a brief prayer to close our time together, here again is Pastor Brett Metter.
And so, Lord, I pray that as these, your people, go from this place, that you'd fill them with joy, knowing we're saved by grace through faith. Lord, that's a huge thing that we so much take for granted, maybe something that we rejoice in today. Bless each person. Lord, may we be salt and light in this dark world this week, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Pastor Brett Metter closing our time today here on Today's Word. Well, that's all the time we have. Next time, Pastor Brett Metter will show us through the book of Habakkuk how God deals with the unrighteous, saves the just, and works all things together, even in troubling times. Today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter is an outreach of Athey Creek Church in West Lynn, Oregon.